except you catch the understanding of the offer of his flesh, except you understand what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, except you understand the meaning of his blood, eating there is eating it, receiving it into your spirit man, receiving it into your heart. Unless that understanding is anchored in you, you will never have life. He came to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. They humiliated him. And yet, he belonged to them. Yet, you are a Christian. There is an attitude you are supposed to put up in relationship with Christ. Especially when you come to take a reflection of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You don't come anyhow. It was not a joking matter hanging there on that cross. He was not guilty. When you are guilty and you are paying for something you did, it doesn't pain you as when you know you are innocent. And he did all that having you in mind, having me in mind. When I come for communion service, when I pick that bread, I am not looking at a piece of bread. I am looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Looking at what he went through for me. There's something he does in me. I begin to pick a picture of what he went through and to discover that he did it for me. There is something he tears inside of me, understanding the Lord's body. Today is our communion service. And I just want to take a few moments before we worship the Lord to let us understand what this communion is all about, to remind us, because there's nothing I'm going to say that is new here. But we need to keep reminding ourselves, faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. If a lie is spoken constantly, before you know what, it will be accepted as truth. How much more if truth is spoken and repeated regularly? Amen. I believe it will also affect the thinking of the people positively. And I'm excited because we receive a lot of calls from outside the country, from outside Lagos, from people who are watching us on our broadcast. And so many of them are learning. Many of them are ministers. One of them spoke to me this morning from Kogi State. Now he's rushing to go. He's a pastor. He's rushing to go and finish his service so that he will run and come and join us in our own service. He confessed he has learned a lot. He confessed two things he learned. He observed. He joined us throughout our Friday vigil. He said he learned two things. The church was founded by his mother. And somebody asked a question Friday vigil, and he got to know through our explanation that a woman cannot pastor a church. He learned that. He's a minister, he's a pastor in his mother's church. And secondly, he also said that he learned about the fivefold ministry, that only one man cannot be used in a church. He's learning it from Bride Assembly. Amen. So please, there are some things we say that look common to you here. It is exciting somebody else that may be hearing it for the first time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I had cause to answer one of them that called me. He's worried, and maybe you are hearing me too now, anybody else. He's worried that his church is not growing. He doesn't know what is happening. He wants me to help him. Maybe they need prayers. And I quickly said something. Because to him, where they are, some other church has dominated that church, and they will not let others to grow, even though that church they believe is not altogether right scripturally in so many things they are doing. And they who have something to offer, nobody is coming to them. And I quickly told him that you must take notes. Anybody here, you are a minister, you are hearing me, listen very well. You have a call, listen very well. Church ministry is not like your personal business. Ministry is God's own business. And He gives you according to what He knows your ability is. And if He knows that your ability is to watch over 100 people, and He gives another one who knows his ability to watch over 1,000 people, the one that watches over 1,000 people is not greater than you that have only 100 people. You must understand that. That what we count success as human beings is not what God counts as success, because the indices you use in making that judgment is not the same indices God uses. You have to understand that. That if He gives you 100 people and then you faithfully watch over them, the same reward, 100,000 strong member, if He also did His own faithfully, is the same reward you will receive. It's the same reward. That is depending on what you understand as a reward. But I'm talking about scriptural reward. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And listen to me, pastors and preachers. Listen, this is very important. If God has given you a ministry, He knows how to attract those He has sent you to. And I told them, I said, that when God gave us a message to preach, our prayer is, then give us the people you are sending us to tell the message to. So you just stay. If God call you, He knows what to do. Make sure you are in His perfect will. All other things will line up naturally. God ministry is God's own business, and He's more interested in it than you. And any pastor that feels frustrated because his ministry is not growing, you take a look first. Am I in the perfect will of God? One, am I doing what He has asked me to do? If you are, then just go on like that. Just go on. I told you that the story of a man that was sent somewhere in Europe in so many years back, that in the days of John Wesley, also before the days of John Wesley, and the Lord spoke to him to go, that He was going to use him in a very mighty crusade in a certain town. William Branham reminded us that story, and he said that he printed handbill, went to that town, landed there. Lord, you say I should come here, I have come. And then he went, and he said there was only one small boy that he met, one young man, small boy he met. And then the boy said, can I help you in distributing the, pasting the handbills about town? He gave him, that was the person helping him. They got the venue, they paid for the venue, they did everything. When they went there, nobody came there. If it's you and I, we'll be frustrated. We'll even go back and say, which voice spoke to me? Or you will cry upon all the money you spent renting the hall, transporting yourself, all the fasting you fasted before coming here. But that man was spiritual, you know, he was sure it was God that sent him. Amen. When it was time, he stood at the altar. He said, he preached as he was preaching to 10,000 people, now that young man sitting down there. Amen. And then he made altar call. Now that young man come out. Came and knelt down and received Christ. He prayed for him. That was the end of the mighty crusade that the Lord told him to come. Carnal people would have said that prophecy failed. But that young man that came out, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that man, John Wesley, that you know today. It turned the whole world upside down. So was that crusade a mighty crusade? Yes. What is mighty to you is not mighty to God. Praise the Lord. There was another crusade that David had 30,000. 30,000. 30,000. And God was not there with 30,000 people. So what is success to you may not be success to God. The important thing is, am I in the will of God? Is it God that told me to do this? I have answered the call and I have only 50 people in my church. Make sure those 50 people go to heaven. There are some people, they are under 100,000. Why? No go follow them go. Even then they say, no go go. Let's be sensitive. So, we like to take time and let the people know this God that we are serving. Now, we are coming for communion. But not too many people understand what communion service is all about. I'm talking about Christianity in general. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are we there? I love to be in the presence of God. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the presence of God. Nothing like it. I look forward to it. Not because I'm a pastor. Even as a pastor, it becomes tense because I have a responsibility. Before I became a pastor, I love going to church. I love it. I never went to church late. Before I became a pastor, my family, they are here. They waste my time. I will leave the car key behind. My wife knows how to drive. I will enter Okada, enter taxi. If you won't go, don't hinder me. I don't reach church. They know that one. And I was not a minister in that church. I can't see myself going to church and go late. Lie. It was part of me. Very much part of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Lie. I believe that before service starts, if we are to start 9, at 9 o'clock, God keeps appointment. His angel is there. And he's looking at those who are keeping to that time. I'm telling you, this is a spiritual thing. When you meet carnal people, it's very easy to know you are carnal. I hope you know it's very easy to know you are carnal. When it comes to the things of the spirit, look at your response. But when it comes to the one where he will give you money, see your response. That is how you know whether you are spiritual or you are carnal. Eh? So that they're not going to drop me from my office. Resumption time is 8 o'clock. 7:30, now you the open gate. But when it comes to church, what is the time now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. That is whenever they come for communion service. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must. Somebody, please, underline verse 19. That scripture is very, very deep, verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. What he said in that place is establishing a spiritual principle in the church. He said, there must be heresies among you in the church. That is, there must be people who go in error. There must be people who preach error. Why does God allow them in the church to be there? He says, so that those who are approved will be made manifest. So how do you know that light is, how do you enjoy the brightness of light? Is when there is darkness. So darkness makes you appreciate light. Now you say, I believe the truth. I believe. But God knows who every one of us is. So he will allow error to come. And it can come from a false preacher coming to take advantage of a pulpit and preach. Or he will anoint some influential brethren around who goes from place to place Did you say this? Do you know this thing should be like this? Now, God allowed that person to come to show, to confirm where you stand. Will you follow him? Or you have something that will repel him? So, heresies in the Church of Jesus Christ is established by God himself. The spirit of error has been allowed to enter the church by God himself. Why? So that the wheat can remain wheat and the tares can remain tares. He told about John the Baptist in John chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11. He says, who did you go, concerning John the Baptist, who did you go to see? He said, did you go to see a reed shaking with the wind? A reed shaking with the wind? Why did he say so? Because there are people that they are like this grass that has no strength. Any wind of doctrine that blows, they are there. Another one blow this way again, they are there. Blow that way again, they are there. Amen. And if a strong wind of trial and temptation come, they will not only bend, they will uproot them. And go. He said, no, John the Baptist is not like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, like a Christian is supposed to have a root. That and the root is the word of God, the Bible. That's why, make this Bible your companion. Don't make the pulpit your companion. Make the Bible. He can do any other thing, but he cannot rewrite another Bible. He has been trying to water down the Bible since we say hold your Bible. There are different versions of the Bible, and people don't know why there are different versions. It is the devil in his subtlety. He will start small. He can bring this version and go to only one verse and change it and give you the remaining one. Wait first. In 20 years time, he will have changed it and remove until everything that has to do with exposing the truth will be removed. If not, a standard that has been set, why are you reversing it? Reverse standard Bible. Why are you reversing the standard? Praise the Lord. That's why I stay with my old thou heart, old King James. There's even an anointing that goes with that kind of English. When you read it, it's only Bible that has version, international version, new international version, reverse standard. Old King James, New King James, Jerusalem Bible, Rome Bible, Madonna Bible, all manner of Bibles. In the same English, if it's interpretation to another language, I will understand. I mean the same English. Praise the Lord. People don't know that that is the devil. And he's saying there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 20 now. When you come together therefore into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's supper. Why? In verse 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunk. This Corinthian church was very, very carnal. Corinthian church. Verse 21 says, they will come for communion service. So they say it's a feast because they say it is the Lord's feast. Then they will come like the worldly people do their party. You know, this table here, they come to show off. One will come with hula of what do you call it? Salad. Fried rice, salad. You know, and all the special grills.
Then the other one will come with a special delicacy from their village where they come from. It's either in the Kankong or it's Oha, depending on where you come from. And then they are gathering it, or me and Kuka. Then they will gather there and they are showing off. Then they will bring one big jug of pawai. Keep them. Then this one will bring your own special alcohol. Keep them. Then they are doing show off. What are they going for? The Lord's Feast. Corinthian church. Verse 21 says, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you no houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Then he comes to tell you now correct communion service from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it. The emphasis is in remembrance of me. And then he added, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. I repeat verse 26. For as often, so it can be weekly, it can be monthly, it can be any time you come together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I repeat verse 27. And you should be underlining such scriptures. There are scriptures that you have to meditate on. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, as we have come to do here today, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So you may be coming here to take the bread and the wine, but there is an attitude you put on when you come that will amount to unworthy. You are coming unworthily. That makes you unworthy to partake of it. I'm saying this in a way that somebody may be hearing it for the first time will begin to give the right attitude towards communion service. It's the highest ritual that exists on earth. And every ritualist knows that you don't go before your ritual anyhow. It's only Christians. The reason is because those demons behind those rituals, they don't take nonsense. But unknown to us that the God that we serve calls also for reverence when we come before his table. When we come before this ritual, I call it a ritual. Praise the Lord. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Can you see the cost that follows? This communion is supposed to be something that will attract blessing. Apostle Paul also called it the cup of blessing. But something that should be a blessing to you, don't turn it again to be a curse. Go back to the scriptures and see the story of all those who were guilty of killing Jesus Christ and see what happened to them. From 1870, what they went through, that was, it was the continuation of their suffering that put them into the hands of Hitler and all those persecutions in Europe. And they were suffering that thing from 1870 till 1948. Why? They were guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. They did not handle him the way they should have handled him. He came to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him. They humiliated him. And yet, he belonged to them. Yet, you are a Christian. There is an attitude you are supposed to put up in relationship with Christ. Especially when you come to take a reflection of what he did on the cross on Calvary. You don't come anyhow. It was not a joking matter hanging there on that cross. It was not a joking matter, the sufferings that he went through. He was not guilty. When you are guilty and you are paying for something you did, it doesn't pain you as when you know you are innocent. And he did all that having you in mind, having me in mind. And when it's time now to reflect what happened on the cross on Calvary, we make it as if it was a joke. It was a drama he was doing. It was not a drama, it was real. The next verse, 28. But let a man, let a woman, let a man examine himself. And so, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself first before you come to the cross, before you come to the Lord's table. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. What is discerning the Lord's body? You are eating and drinking unworthily. You are drinking damnation, not because you don't understand the Lord's body. Discerning the Lord's body is understanding the Lord's body. And verse 30, because you come unworthily, because you don't understand the Lord's body. Verse 30, for this cause, for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Three things happen. Many are weak, many are sickly, and many are sleep. Sleep there is die. What is saying there? Not that if you drink the wine finish, your belly will swell up, then you will go die. That's what he's saying. He's talking about among us. This is the effect. When you begin to see that a church that is a truly a living church like that, and some kind of stupid common death begin to happen among you, something is wrong. Somebody leave church now, and they go cross the road, motor hit and bah, he died after service. Something is wrong. Somebody sleep, they attack him. When you wake up, finish. Amen. He paralyzed before evening. He died. What happened? The attack. It is because something is wrong. And Apostle Paul is linking it to our lack of understanding of what Jesus Christ did with his body and his blood. Not discerning the Lord's body. He said, many are weak. What kind of weakness? What is the evidence that you are weak? Anytime you are in the spirit, the things of the spirit, you find it difficult to do the things of the spirit. It means you are weak. You cannot fast. It's because you are weak. You cannot pray for long. It's because you are weak. You are weak. Praise the Lord. You used to pray for the sick, they receive healing. under 5 minutes when you pray. Amen. The sickness will go. Now, it's taking you 2 days before that same sickness goes. Now, from another source, it is because you, the person praying, you are weak. Was it like that before? Something is wrong now. It's because you are weak. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You carry Bible to read. Before 30 minutes, that Bible don't fall for your chest. You don't sleep off. What happened? You are weak. And it's, you know, linking it to our attitude towards the communion. And because of it, many are sickly. All manner of sicknesses and diseases come. Today you are in the hospital. Tomorrow you are discharged. When this sickness goes, another one is coming. Before I go, another one. All your money in the hospital, they chop out. Something is wrong. It's linking it to your attitude to the communion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why I sang that song. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At the cross. That was why I preached the message. The cross as the symbol of our faith. It's our own attempt to look at it properly. Look at the cross and look at what it means. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. You drink a curse upon yourself because you don't understand the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sickly, and many sleep. People die. I don't want anybody to be weak among us. I don't want anybody to be sick among us. I told you, I said, from the day I gave my life to Christ, shortly after, he let me know that he's a healer. And the way you will know that he's a healer is not just that there is one fire in your hand. Wow, like that. In Jesus' name. Wow, my hand. The lay hand on the sick. The sick shall recover. Then the day you don't feel that fire, say, oh, Father, send down the fire. I pray to your Lord. Hey, don't come. Don't come. Take. No! Hallelujah. From the day that I knew that God heals, till today, I have not visited hospital because I am sick. I don't know malaria. I don't know typhoid. I've never done tests to see whether a typhoid or malaria they fight. But when it comes, there is a revelation I have of what happened on the cross of Calvary. There is something in tears inside of you that turns you to a fighter. Satan, you're a liar. Are you saying that by the stripes of Jesus I am more healed? Why? There is an understanding I have. When I come for communion service, when I pick that bread, I am not looking at a piece of bread. I am looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Looking at what he went through for me. There is something he does in me. I begin to pick a picture of what he went through and to discover that he did it for me. There is something in tears inside of me understanding the Lord's body. And this exhortation, I title it Discerning the Lord's Body. Discerning the Lord's Body. You say you eat unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. So that you'll understand why Jesus Christ in John chapter 6. Let's read it. Why he spoke the way he spoke. John chapter 6. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Are we there? Let me read it from verse 31. The discussion between Jesus Christ and those religious leaders of that time who did not understand him and were treating him anyhow. From verse 31, yes. Our fathers, that is the Jewish fathers, did eat manna in the desert. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They were quoting and quoting and quoting. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Amen. Somebody shout the bread of life. Say very loud. Now that if you are truly studying the Bible, when you will be handling that bread later today, you will look at Jesus Christ saying, I am the bread of life. Okay? I want us to knock off religion and become Christians. I want us to knock off religion and become Christians. There are two things that I heard from two different men of God that challenged me so much. One of it was a Pentecostal preacher that was preaching, and suddenly he stopped. He said he had somebody was preaching against fornication, and he said, You mean people still fornicate? There was a way he put it. It just feel that you mean people still talk about fornication? That he believed that we have gone far, far, far beyond that now. You mean there are still people fornicating? And the way he was saying it with so much seriousness that you can see that he had gone far beyond that. Are you surprised that people who are there with him, that somebody still say that he doesn't talk against fornication? He said people say he doesn't talk against fornication. That he has better things to talk about. You mean there are people that still descend to that level and claim to be Christians? Any fornicator here? The second thing was the man Raymond Jackson, a preacher of this same faith. And he said that in his church, they don't have time for offering. At the gate, as you enter, there is offering box there. And when he was asked, he said he has more things to talk about than to begin to talk about tithe and offering. That every Christian should know that is a basic thing. So they don't raise offering. If they have a need, of course they will announce it. But they won't stand at the altar and say, bring. But he keep it at the end there as you are entering. If you didn't see it when you are entering, when you are going, at least you will see it. And if you didn't put offering, you did not mean to put it. You came without, you did not want to put offering before. If not, you will have known that there is something you came to do you didn't do. And you will have dropped it. But please, that is America. For here, we will put them for your front like this. We will look up. They look the offering box like this. We will see them for your front. Right? We will put them. Not for your back. Praise the Lord. Because just like the fornicator, here, I hear of fornication. So I'll be talking for it. I will talk. And if you refuse to change, at least it won't be because I didn't say it. It will be because there is nothing in you to stop. Like Cain. So that you will know why you are doomed when you will be going to hell. At least you will say you didn't hear.
every service. I said, I hope I've spoken about it today. If I never talk, make I talk. Fornicators, they're going to hell. And I've told you several times that it is number one sin. God hates that one before he hates murder. God hates fornication more than murder, because it was fornication that spoiled his agenda on earth with human beings. But sexual sin, he hates it. That's why he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. With fire, I burnt all of them. And that fire is still reserving it for those who have changed, who have refused to change. Fire, fire! I read in the paper yesterday, a pastor, he's a homosexual, sleeping with small, small children, men, sleeping with men, defiling young, young boys, a pastor, somewhere in Edo. And they're here in Lagos also. And they're holding Bible. Children of hell! I'm telling you, holding Bible, your judgment will be higher than those homosexuals who are not believers. When the Bible speaks about people's conscience that have been seared with hot iron, you understand now. You understand now. You understand now. Eh? Praise the Lord. Have a tag as pastor. Tag as pastor. Sit down in my office and put this peacock. I'm going to call this one. This collar where I put so. This is the first time I'm putting it. Praise the Lord. Then I will sit down. Man of God. That should be respected. Then the woman will come for counseling. Then I'll say, Jerry, close the door. Don't let anybody enter till I tell you. Lock it from inside. And sister, wait till you talk. Then sleep with her. Or arrange to meet with her in a hotel. And she knows me. And while I'm arriving in the hotel, she's saying, Pastor, you don't come. Praise the Lord. God is very patient. If I were God. Oh. Nothing like that for happen. Nothing like that for happen. I will follow you there as you dress up all finish. I will start caning the two of you to the street. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Who is that pastor? Fiat. Praise the Lord. One woman confessed to me that the pastor used a charm to sleep with her in his office. He said, all she knows is that she entered the office and they started talking. But what happened after that, she didn't know until she found herself dressing up and she came to her senses. What happened? That was when she knew that she came before a devil in the name of a pastor. You will never come across such people in the name of Jesus. I say you will never come across such people in the name of Jesus. Stop fornication. Anyway, I just wanted to talk and for today. In case I don't see you again, I told you that God hates it. It's abomination that you have received the Holy Ghost and you are defiling the temple of God. I told you the revelation one of the prophets gave us 3 weeks ago. He said inside the church building, church compound, a man and a woman, a young boy and a young girl, for car park when it's dark, they'll be having sex there. And now the girl took him. She's pregnant. And they're now wondering what to do with that pregnancy. But God refused to forgive them. He has closed their doors everywhere. Door closed. And insisted that until they go to the pastor of that church and confess, he will not leave them. And if you're quarreling with God, who will deliver you? Anytime you come before the arena, a place dedicated like this to worship,
and you try to come and defile it, you are choking your finger in the eyes of God. Where will you go for deliverance when he descends on you? Be careful when you come to a living church. Be very, very careful. I'm telling you. Be very, very careful. You don't have respect for God, he will not have respect for you. It's true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Understanding of the offer of his flesh, except you understand what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, except you understand the meaning of his blood, eating there is eating it, receiving it into your spirit man, receiving it into your heart, unless that understanding is anchored in you, you will never have life. He came to his own and his own received him not. They rejected him, humiliated him, and yet he belonged to them. Yet you are a Christian. There is an attitude you are supposed to put up in relationship with Christ, especially when you come to take a reflection of what he did on the cross of Calvary. You don't come anyhow. It was not a joking matter hanging there on that cross. He was not guilty. When you are guilty and you are paying for something you did, it doesn't pain you as when you know you are innocent. And you did all that having you in mind, having me in mind. When I come for communion service, when I pick that bread, I am not looking at a piece of bread. I am looking at the body of Jesus Christ. Looking at what he went through for me. There's something he does in me. I begin to pick a picture of what he went through and to discover that he did it for me. There is something he bears inside of me, understanding the Lord's body. John chapter 6, I was reading. 34. Then said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. The hungry now is not hungry of Eba and the Pandediam. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And it's not a thirst for water. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Go to verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heart and a land of the Father coming unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. He's referring to himself. Very, very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And my emphasis is from verse 48. I am that bread of life. Somebody shout, that bread. He's being specific now. The bread that when you eat, you will not get hungry again. I am that bread. Which bread? The bread that manna was speaking of. The manna that fell in the wilderness was speaking about a better bread that will soon come. And he said, I am that bread. That manna you people ate in the wilderness, every one of you, your fathers ate it. We are not getting hungry again the next day. But this one, when you eat this bread that comes from heaven, you will not be hungry again. Verse 49. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness. They are dead. And are dead. This one, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now this death now, this hunger and this thirst, you know that it's not talking about the natural death, the natural hunger and the natural thirst. It's talking something spiritual. And I always like you to understand that everything that pertaining to true salvation is spoken in the Bible either in parable or in symbols. To let you know that you don't read the Bible like you read a novel or you read a newspaper. You read the Bible prayerfully. You pray even before you open the Bible, so that the author of the Bible can grant you understanding of what he has written. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Life. That's why there is Rhema and there is Logos. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give you, that I will give, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh my. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I am looking at the topic I titled Discerning the Lord's Body. Understanding the Lord's Body. He was trying to make them understand his body, but they could not understand. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I think Jesus Christ deliberately was confusing them. Instead of him to take time to explain it, he was making them to be confused more. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat, better food indeed, and my blood is better drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Can you see something there? I read it again. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That is why blood covenant is very, very deadly. You carry somebody's blood, mingle with your own blood, and you make a vow, a covenant, and you drink it, he drinks it. Just know that you have tied your souls together. It's a very deadly covenant. Don't use ignorance and go into that. That is why too, when you eat his flesh and drink his blood, he dwells in you and you dwell in him. But it is more than what I am saying. It is deeper than just that statement. You have to know how to eat the flesh and drink the blood for you to be part of him, and he will be part of you. It's not just taking that wine and drink and take bread and eat. Say, I am in Jesus. Jesus is in me. No. A prostitute can drink it. Anybody can drink it. Anytime you are thirsty, open your fridge, carry bread and carry wine. Oh, Jesus. Wow. And drink. No. Praise God. Let me finish that read. 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, what is what he's saying? Catch it here. He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Eating the flesh there and drinking his blood there is telling you, except you understand the meaning of his flesh, except you catch the understanding of the offer of his flesh, except you understand what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, except you understand the meaning of his blood, eating there is eating it, receiving it into your spirit man, receiving it into your heart. Unless that understanding is anchored in you, you will never have life. It's understanding. And not too many people understand what happened on the cross on Calvary. And until you understand, how will you live a life pleasing before God when you don't understand how to live a life pleasing before him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Which life? Eternal life. Eternal life. You can never have eternal life until you eat his body and his flesh and drink his blood. And when you say understanding, understand what? Number one, you have to understand that he was the sacrificial lamb. That takes you to the Old Testament. That is number one thing you must understand about Jesus Christ in the flesh. That he was the sacrificial lamb. Why do we say the sacrificial lamb? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God gave Moses the law for the remission of sins, for the atonement of sins. When you committed any sin, once every year, they come before the high priest and bring a lamb as, you know, given by the law. And the soul that sinned shall die. It is the law. But God knows all his children will die, because as long as we're in this flesh, you every day you commit sin. His mercy therefore make provision for that lamb. Unless and you bring that lamb and then you deserve to die, you make your confession, but instead of you to die, the high priest kills, slaughters the goat, the lamb there, the sheep, the goat, and it is as he's struggling to die, the blood is, you know, sprinkling all about. You place your hand there and the blood is touching you. By the reason of the shedding of that blood, your sin that you came to confess, they are atoned. And the hammer of death is taken away from you. That was God's provision in the first covenant. And in John chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist was in his crusade. Suddenly he saw a man and saw the sign that God gave him as the one, the Lamb of God. And he shouted, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And I want you to note something. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I note that he didn't say the sins of the world, but the sin of the world. One sin that condemn all of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We inherited that curse from the Garden of Eden. That one sin that separated God from man, that took place in the Garden of Eden between Eve and the serpent, and the sin that Adam also identified with, that brought the curse upon every human being that came out from Adam. And all of us sitting down here, we all came out from the same man, Adam. Praise the Lord. Okay, sorry, not from the same man, me from the same woman. Do you understand me? I'm talking to revelated people. Hallelujah. You know that when Eve was created, what was her name that Adam gave? woman. But after Cain and Abel were born, two of them were born, he changed her name to Eve. Eh? And what's the meaning of Eve? Mother of all living. But Adam is not the father of all living. Serpent seed plus the seed of Adam all came from that one womb. So, all of us here, we came out. We have the same original mama, Eve. But different papa. Amen. But they were wiped away in the Noah's flood. That seed crossover, we cross over. That seed crossover among Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah. That seed crossover, and that is why it now takes God to know who is who. For the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His, because there are some that are not His. Now, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, one sin of the world. And who was that? It was Jesus Christ. And before a lamb will go to be sacrificed, that lamb undergoes purification process. You will bath it, you will wash it first. And that's why immediately he came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John was telling him, as great as you are, you should be the one baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And he said, permit it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. Why? You have just announced, I am the lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And the lamb, before it's sacrificed, has to be washed. So I am coming to be washed, so that I can offer myself for that sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hallelujah. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. That is why the sacrifice of Abel was accepted, but that of Cain was not accepted. Unless you come under that blood. The sin that reduces us like this involved blood. And that is why it needs blood to atone for the sins. And only the true children of God catch this revelation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anytime I talk about the cross, there is something, you know, that happens in my spirit, man. I'm telling you. That's the most important gospel from this Bible. That's the most important gospel in the Bible. And your Christian faith is determined by your understanding of what happened on the cross on Calvary. Your attitude towards Christ is determined by what you know as the effect of what he did on the cross on Calvary. If not, I'm just a religious person. I don't want to be a religious man. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The sacrificial lamb. He died on the cross there to pay the debt that we owed. We owed a debt that we could not pay. And he paid a debt that he did not owe. In him was no sin at all. He came down from earth to glory, from glory to earth, to show us the way. We were all lost. Isaiah 53 says so. As sheep lost, wandering up and down, no bearing. And Satan was there, making mess of the children of God because of what happened on the cross on Calvary. And we're here struggling to know how will we gain back what we lost. The presence of God was departed, was withdrawn from man. And we are just there, groping like that.
struggling
to live a life pleasing before God.
That is why he gave the ordinance of water baptism.
Hallelujah. That song we sang in the morning, he said it was there at the cross. By faith, I received my sight. By faith at the cross, we are not there.
Hallelujah.
Even those who were there, they didn't know what he was doing.
They were just pitying that a good man was just being maltreated. They were crying because they love him. They knew he had done nothing. The religious people were just finishing him.
If the princes of this world had known what they were doing, the Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
God himself blinding them.
And I thank God they didn't know, because if they had known, they would not have killed him and we would have not had the sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And by faith, the Bible says water baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. You are saying that you believe. If you believe, this is the ordinance. This is it. He's telling you, identify with his body and his blood. And the way to do it is water baptism. You repent and you are buried. And you come out as he resurrected. That is why he said, he that eateth this bread, he said, shall live forever.
There is the hope of resurrection.
Hallelujah.
In the resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah.
We shall rise now.
Hallelujah.
Grave could not hold him captive.
Amen.
And if you are in him, if the power that resurrected Christ dwell in you,
hallelujah,
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's why he said you cannot die.
It's not referring to the natural death. It's referring to the second death. The death that involves the soul.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Number two, you have to understand that he was our Passover lamb.
Passover lamb.
Understanding the Lord's body. Taking us back to the children of Israel that were in captivity in Israel and in Egypt. And he sent Moses, a prophet, to bring them out of bondage. Egypt is a type of a sinful world. Egypt is a type of the unbelieving world. But his children, for them, from the foundation of the world, they are there, locked in there in the world, everywhere. He sent Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. He said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, like unto me. And that prophet was Jesus Christ. He was a type of Jesus Christ, Moses. That went to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And that Pharaoh is that spirit that has held us all down these years. You were serving him and you didn't even know when you were prostitution. When you are in adultery and all manner of abomination, when you were a member of that cult. You were a student, but you went and joined a cult and entered into cult activities. You didn't know you were serving the devil. You were a drunkard. You didn't know you were serving the devil. Every day you were in nightclub dancing for the devil. You didn't know it. You are smoking and destroying this your health. You didn't know you are serving a devilish cause. You are there committing abortion up and down. You didn't know that he was a murderer from the beginning, and every murderer, that is his father. Abortion is a spirit of murder. Nobody has a right to take life. Don't call it unwanted pregnancy. If you didn't want pregnancy, then why you go do it? Praise the Lord. You are living that nonsense life. You are an armed robber, and you were enjoying killing and killing. You didn't know that you were serving the devil, but God knows his own. His own may be that armed robber, maybe that ritual killer, but the devil has taken over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He sent his prophet Jesus, the Son of Man.
The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy.
But he came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh refused. He refused, Abi.
Amen. The last plague. And that last plague will soon come upon this world.
He said, get the lamb
and kill that lamb.
And put that blood
on the doorposts and the lintels of the entrance into the house.
For this night, the angel of death will pass by.
That's in Exodus chapter 12.
And that kind of death that will cause everybody to cry is the type of death that he will release. He will not kill everybody so that he will leave some to cry.
He will take the strength of that family, the firstborn child.
He will pass through,
but the angel of death was going to pass through that night, but his own, he told them the secret.
Kill that animal
and apply the blood like this.
While he was telling them this, those people were still drinking beer in their beer parlors.
Yes, they were still doing their ritual killing. Yes, they were still doing all their evil, but there were a group of people, his own, his covenant people, that he came and revealed a secret to.
One of these days,
hallelujah,
one of these days, you will know you did not make a mistake choosing to follow Christ. All the sacrifices you have made on earth, one of these days,
blessed be the name of the Lord,
hallelujah, you will know that you did not waste your time.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. The song that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face.
It says, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will vanish away.
That first stanza says, of times that day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We are tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow we erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Hallelujah.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Praise the Lord. The Passover lamb. He called it Passover because when the angel of death will pass by,
when I see the blood, when I see the blood,
see, the emphasis is the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Which blood? The blood of that lamb. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Apostle Paul referred to Jesus Christ as our Passover. Even Christ, our Passover. Passover from earth to glory. Passover from darkness to light. Passover from death to life. Passover from suffering to enjoyment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this time around, the blood It's no more the blood of an animal. Amen. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. To the whole world, not just to Egypt and Israel. Both Jew and Gentile. Both Greek. Both slave, bond and free. Male or female. It's for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. Now whosoever believes should not